Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. Kids, how many of you have already started back to school? Just raise your hand if you've already started back to school, all right? Raise your hands if you start back to school this week. Raise your hand if you're ready to start back to school this week. All right, a lot fewer hands come up that time. So this morning what we're going to talk about is our mental state, the way we are either positive or negative as we deal with life. And I want to start off with a story about Jason Fried. He's a man that you've never heard of before, but if you've heard of the software tool, it's a project management software tool called Basecamp. He developed this. So he's a smart guy, he's intelligent, he's forward-thinking. And he was sitting at a conference not too long ago, and the speaker said something that he didn't like. And so he started kind of debating in his mind. And as the speaker kept going, he became more and more agitated and more negative. And afterwards, he went up to the speaker after he finished his presentation and just gave him a litany of all the things that he disagreed with. And the speaker just said to Jason Fried, he said, "Listen, I didn't ask you to agree with me, and I didn't ask you to disagree with me. I just want to present some new thoughts to you. So take a new thought and just give it 5 minutes." And Jason Fried, who's a very intelligent individual, realized that his mind had entered something, and you all know what it is. It's called refutation mode, where when you hear something, you just start refuting everything you hear, and you're not really thinking, you're not really responding, you're just reacting. Okay, so we see people in refutation mode on social media all the time. Somebody posts something that you disagree with. You enter refutation mode, and before you think about it, you fired off a reaction. A certain politician, maybe it's a politician you don't like, doesn't matter what they say, as soon as they open their mouth, you are entering refutation mode. Again, you're not really thinking, you're just reacting. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who is in refutation mode? It is extremely agitating, is it not? That you can say the sky is up and they'll even disagree with that. They'll say, "Well, direction is relative, blah, blah, blah." And I know that people come into a church on Sunday morning. Some of them are geared up into refutation mode. Maybe they've encountered a pastor that they didn't trust. Or maybe they've had some bad experiences with church before, or they think that God isn't fair. And so they come in and automatically they are in refutation mode. Listen, I love what one writer says. She says, "Sometimes the greatest suffering in our life is that little voice in your head." Sometimes our greatest suffering is that little voice right here in our head. And what happens in our cerebellum can affect our circumstances. What happens in our thought life can affect our real life. What happens in my mental world can affect and influence what happens in my material world. There's so much that hinges right here. And I want you to just think about this. We live in a world that negativity is rewarded. Okay. We live in a world that negativity is our natural environment, and complaining is the common language of our culture. But here's the deal. Negativity and complaining, it robs us of the joy that could and should be ours as followers of Jesus. And so we need to pay attention to what's happening right here. Let me address a quick myth, and then we're going to go to Philippians where Paul addresses our thought life. Quick myth is this. The myth is, I can't control my mind. Here's the truth. Truth is, I can't control my mind easily. It's difficult, but it can be done. So this is one of the verses that I've asked you to memorize. And by the way, this is important because this gives the Holy Spirit something to draw on as we deal with our own mental condition, as we deal with our own thought life. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell, think on these things. So we have a dog. His name is Max. He's 11 years old, and he's now blind. So I go get him out of the laundry room in the morning, and I open the door, and he runs right into the wall. It's so funny, but it's terrible. He's just completely blind. So I have to kind of help him out the door before he pees on the floor, right? So I get him out the door. So he's blind. He can't see where he's going. But like many of you who have a dog, you know how they walk around the backyard just in the same places all the time? And so I have a trail that goes out this way to this side of the house, and a trail that goes this way to this side of the house, and a trail that goes out to the furthest part of the backyard. Max is completely blind. I have a tough time getting him out of the house, but once he hits the backyard, he can walk every step of that trail with absolute precision. Even though he's completely blind, he's memorized that way so well that he doesn't need to see in order to walk his own paths. So, can you teach old dogs new tricks? Can you teach old neurons new possibilities? Can you teach an old heartbeat new rhythms? Can you be a person who's stuck in a way of thinking? You have your well-worn paths, and can you operate in brand new ways of thinking? Paul presents the opportunity here. Yes, you can. So what I want to give you this morning, and there's not many areas that I can identify with, but this is one, because God gifted me with a brain that gravitates toward what is negative. God's given me a brain that seems to gravitate toward every possibility that could go wrong. So I've spent a lot of time in a counselor's office, and I've spent a lot of time reading some of the best books out there, and I've spent a lot of time in the scripture saying, what does it mean? My mind can't be controlled easily, but it can be controlled. What does it mean to control my mind? And so for my purposes, I've come up with a very simple acrostic on controlling my thoughts. And so I'm going to give it to you this morning. You can use it or not, but here's what I've learned in my time of wrestling with this. And the acrostic is A-I-R, air, okay? As much as we need air, we need to control the way that we think. The A in air stands for awareness, to be aware of what you are thinking. Now, this sounds so elementary. How can you be thinking something and not be aware of what you're thinking? Listen, we're all talking to ourselves all the time. It's called an internal monologue, right? And it's kind of like that TV that's playing in the living room. You're not really paying attention to it, but you're listening to what it says. And sometimes we are not even aware of our own thoughts and the way those thoughts are affecting us. Let me give you an example. I went to Haiti a couple of weeks ago, and as the trip grew closer, there were some travel warnings out, but I wasn't too concerned about those. But as the trip grew closer, I became increasingly anxious about traveling to Haiti. I even confided in a small prayer group. I said, I'm a little bit concerned about this trip. And I wanted to drill down as to why. Why, when I started thinking about Haiti, did I get those iron butterflies in my stomach? Well, there was one part of the trip that we're going to fly into Port-au-Prince and get on a little Mission Aviator 9-seat Cessna and fly out to this remote place. I've watched too many episodes of air disasters, okay? And so the thought of flying on that little Cessna started really bothering me, okay? And I was anxious about it, but I wasn't really aware of it. And so I said, you know what? What I'm concerned about is flying on that little airplane. And I became aware of what it is that was making me anxious. I'll tell you how we deal with that awareness here in a minute, but you know the interesting part? This is the way it works in life. That was the part I was most anxious about, and that turned out to be the best part of the trip. We did get on this little flight, and we went out, and we landed on a dirt runway in the middle of nowhere. I felt like I was in a movie. I was Brad Pitt, y'all. I was Brad Pitt, okay? Out in the middle of nowhere, and then driving even further out into the middle of nowhere. The part that made me most anxious was actually the best part. But I didn't know that. I just knew I was anxious. And so I had to become aware of the fact to say, I'm worried about flying on that little airplane, okay? So the next thing you do, once you become aware of what you're thinking, and isn't it odd we can have a thought but not be fully aware of it? Once you are aware of the thought, you can choose, and here's the I in air, to ignore it. Because just because you've had a thought doesn't mean that it's true. Just because you've had a thought doesn't mean it has any value whatsoever. It does not exist apart from existing in your mind. So I'm going to use another airplane illustration. This just fits. Let's say you and I tomorrow morning, we leave Tulsa International Airport, and we get on a flight to Dallas. Okay, I'm used to flying. I'm sitting there drinking my early morning Dr. Pepper, having some coffee as well, and having a snack, and I'm just looking forward to what I'm going to do in Dallas. You're sitting there, and you are white-knuckling it. You are in the seat next to me doing this, okay, because you're thinking about the plane crashing. Here's the deal. You and I are on the same plane, same equipment, same crew, same pilot. I know the dangers of air traffic, of air travel, but I'm choosing to ignore that. And all you're doing is paying complete attention to it. Listen, just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to pay attention to it. Our minds are not so much problem solvers as they are problem seekers. Okay, we're always seeking out a problem. And just because you found one doesn't mean you have to pay attention to it. Now, here's the R in air, and here why this is so important, because this is where Paul lands. Once you're aware of what you're thinking, you can ignore what you're thinking. And the best way to ignore what you're thinking is to replace your thought. Take whatever it is that you just made up, whatever your awareness is. And if you try just to ignore a thought and not replace it with anything, it's just going to keep on coming back. But you replace it with something else. And this is exactly what Paul gives counsel to do. Finally, brothers and sisters, here's what I want you to pay attention to. Every thought you have, here's what I want you to replace it with. Whatever's true. So when it came to the little Haiti trip, I was worried about the airplane crashing, right? I had to focus my mind on, here's what I know is true. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but here's one thing I know for sure. And I'm not trying to sound over spiritual, but this is what I replaced that thought with, is I belong to Him. I belong to Him. The moment I'm born, the moment I die, everything that happens in life, what would happen to my family, that's something that I know is true. I don't know what's going to happen on that plane, but I know this is true. I belong to Him. Whatever's true, whatever is honorable. Listen, we love scandal in our world, don't we? Look at what's on media most of the time, and it's all about scandal. And you know what that does? That makes us suspicious of everyone. We need to know this. There's a lot of good in the world, and there's a lot of good people in the world. Look around. Just in this church, there are people who are truly trying to follow Jesus Christ. And we don't need to live lives of suspicion. Whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just. Here's one of the most important things I've learned in leadership. That when you hear a story that sounds too weird to be true, it probably is too weird to be true. And that whatever you hear from one person's side, there's another side of the story. And so a good way to handle our own thoughts when somebody comes to us complaining about somebody else, to go, you know what, I've heard their side of the story, but I wonder what the other side of the story is. Because somebody who did something outlandish, maybe there was more to the backstory there than I'm immediately aware of. And so instead of allowing it to suck my mental energy, I just say, I need to wait. I need to wait and hear both sides of the story in order to be just. And whatever is pure. You know what? You can say no to your mind. You can say no. When you have those impure thoughts, and they will come along, become aware of it, ignore it, replace it. You can say no to your mind. So a couple of counsels, a couple of advice I would give in not being negative all the time. And we're going to look at the opposite of what negativity here is in just a moment. But a couple of things that I would say, a couple of bits of counsel. First of all, pay attention to the people in your life. If you surround yourself with negative people, you yourself will become negative. And it's okay if a person is always negative. They dump their junk on you all the time. It's okay to say, listen, I don't need any more negativity in my life. I've asked certain people not to email me before because every time they email, it's negative. I've unfriended and blocked people on Facebook and social media before because I just don't need that coming to my life. There's enough negative without any help from anybody else. Now, here's a counsel I'm going to give you that I hope to hit you right between the eyes. You know one thing that really makes us negative? Is our diet. What we absorb through the media. Okay. Now, I'm not down on television. They are doing what we demand, right? But we need to pay attention. And let me just state it this way. I'm afraid that many of us, that our thought patterns and our beliefs are formed more by Fox News or more by CNN than the Scripture. Just look at where you spend the majority of your time. If you spend hours and hours and hours watching this stuff in media, you're going to absorb what is negative, and you will be formed more by popular media than by God's Word through the Bible. So I can't tell you what to do, but I can share with you what I've done. I was sucked into this. I had several news apps on my phone a few years ago, and anytime I had a few minutes, I would zip through and get all the headlines, which were, of course, mostly negative. And so I said, you know what? It's beginning to mess with my mind. I deleted it all, and I found one app that would give me a 5-minute news broadcast, an update every hour. Now, I don't even listen to it every hour. For me, I get that 5-minute news update in the morning, sometime during the day, and on the way home at night. For me, 15 minutes a day is enough for me to stay informed but not be unduly influenced by the negativity of our culture. I would just ask you to pay attention to how much time you spend in Scripture and how much time you spend on the news. And know that where your diet is, that is what is forming you most. Now, I don't know if Paul does this on purpose, but he gives a living illustration of negativity. Okay, he said, listen, you know, we need to be aware of what we're thinking. We can ignore what we're thinking. We can replace it with other thoughts. I've lived this out in my real life. Okay, and he gives this example. I rejoice in the Lord greatly because once again you've renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me but lacked the opportunity to show that. I don't say this out of need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. So remember, Paul is writing this from prison in Rome. The Philippians had sent a care package, and he's saying, I'm glad you're concerned about me, but I've learned the secret of being content. I know how it is to make do with little. I know how to make do with a lot. I have been at the Sheraton. I've been in Hell's Kitchen. I've lived on filet mignon. I've lived on cold French fries. I've been dressed to the nines, and I've been down to my last $9. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through Him who gives me strength. So let's stop here for just a moment and talk about urban legends. A lot of the things your mama told you weren't true, okay? If you cross your eyes, they'll stick that way. That won't happen, okay? Popping your knuckles will give you arthritis. Well, I've been saving these up all morning. I'm on a roll here. How about this? That's not true either. That's an urban legend. So here's a couple of Christian myths that we have rolling around the church. God helps those who help themselves. That's not true. Here's another one. God will never give you more than what you can handle. That's a myth. And here's another Christian myth. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Wait, that can't be a myth. We just read that, right? Well, it depends on how you apply it. What we do is we take that statement and we apply it to success. I can do all things through God who gives me strength. How many sports teams have gone out into the field saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Does God really care who wins the football game? Does God really care whether OU wins or Texas wins this year? Yes, He does. Okay. But He's not been answering my prayers too often since I've been here in Oklahoma, right? We often apply that statement to success. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Listen, that is not applied to success. Paul makes that statement applying it to the opposite of negativity, which is not being positive, which is not being Pollyanna. He says the opposite of negativity is contentment. So it's believed that there's this secret ingredient to Coca-Cola In fact, Mark Pendergrass wrote the unauthorized biography of Coca-Cola. And there's a Factor 7X flavor that is the secret flavor in Coca-Cola. And at any one time, only two executives at Coca-Cola know what that flavor is. And so when they go on a trip, those two never fly on the same airplane. We're back to airplanes again. There's something about that today. They never fly on the same airplane. And when one of them dies, another person is initiated into it. They have the secret. Can I tell you a secret? And it's not about success. That's what our American culture values. What Christ values, what he wants us to value, is contentment. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That means, you know what Paul says? I belong to him. I belong to him. And again, my favorite bit of sign language is this: whatever happens, not my problem. Isn't that good? That's a pretty good prayer right there. Whatever situation I find myself in this week, whether I still have time out of school or whether I'm in school, not my problem. Whether I'm making ends meet or whether I'm operating in the red, not my problem. Whether I have an easy week or whether I've got too much on my plate right now, not my problem, because I belong to him, and everything God is doing, he is doing to form me into his image. And so that should be my mental construct of the world and of life. Not negative, but content. So C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian writers of the 20th century, and I would say probably the greatest writer of the 20th century, he did not become a Christian until much later in life, until he was an adult. And here's what he sensed God telling him. When he finally came to Christ, one night he was wrestling with faith, and he felt God say this: put down your gun and let's talk. Put down your gun and let's talk. Because all Lewis was doing is he was living in refutation mode between him and God. And he finally had to put down his gun, to put down all his refutations, to put down his negativity, and to come away with this: I belong to him. I don't believe that you can be a Christian and be a negative person. I'll say that again. I don't see how it is possible to be a Christian and to be a cynical, negative person. Why? Because we live within the context of broader realities that God made me. God made you. He made you as a one of a kind expression of his image in this world. And not only did he make you, but he loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. And even when you walked away from that, he did everything in his power to bring you back to him through Jesus Christ on the cross. And now we can be restored in our relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others. There is no bad news in Jesus Christ. I have learned this secret. I know the secret of what it is to be content wherever I am, whatever is happening. There's no reason to be negative. That I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That we belong to him. Let's stand together and let's pray together this morning. Father, I pray for those of us in this room who are followers of Jesus today, that we would drive our mental life deep into this reality that we belong to you. We don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to the world. We belong to you. You've got us. And because of that, we can be content wherever we are. I pray for those in here today who don't know you yet, who don't know what it is to have a relationship with you. So many times our souls, our minds are in refutation mode. Would we just put down our gun and talk with you? To stop reacting, to stop overreacting, and respond to your good love. Let us give you just a few minutes to speak your truth over our lives without reacting. Father, I pray today, wherever our lives would take us this week, whether into an easy circumstance or a difficult circumstance, whether things are looking good or things aren't looking good, that we would experience contentment this week because we belong to you. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we sing this song, Holy Spirit, Rain Down, what we're asking is for God's personal, powerful presence to fill up our lives. This is a prayer that we need to pray. We've already sung it again. Now that you have refamiliarized yourself with it, this is something you could pray over your life today. Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your voice be heard. Change my character as we rely on your word. Would you just sing this over your own life? And acknowledge, Jesus, I belong to you in this time together. Let's worship together.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.